I got into this. And I'll also point out my two collaborators that are over, our immunologist and our extension vet over in Vet Science, that we've worked together on trying to figure out some of these details. But when I've talked here at Range Beef Cow before, it's really been on reproductive management. And when I put up this slide on reproductive management, it goes through the critical areas that affect reproductive efficiency. And so we can talk about animals detected in estrus, inseminator efficiency, fertility level of semen. But this fertility level of the herd is what's critical. And some of you have seen me talk before, have seen me go through all of these different areas. And when we multiply each one of these across, and if we do good, 90 to 95% in all of them, we get our average conception rates, about 70%. But what happens when we affect one of them a little bit? So if we take fertility to the level of the herd, and we just do a slight decrease, we drop it down to 70%, what happens? Now we're down into the low 50s or mid 50s. So you can see how big of an effect one thing can have on single service conceptions. So one of the big areas that can actually affect reproductive efficiency and fertility level of the herd is actually reproductive diseases. And so reproductive diseases, there's several of them listed up here. You probably know all of them, BVD, IBR, TRIC, Lepto, Vibrio, Neospora. And the big things we worry about on those are either fetal infection or pregnancy loss. But what's interesting, the two viruses, BVD and IBR, can also affect ovarian dysfunction and estrous cycle dysfunction. So not only can we affect the fetus, but we can also affect their ability to conceive. And so as we start thinking about these, BVD, it's a family of viruses. Reproductive symptoms are very wide, depending on when they're exposed to it. We can see early embryonic death, low conception rates, persistently infected calves, calves with birth defects, congenitally infected calves. And so we worry about BVD for many regards. Very similarly with IBR. IBR is actually a herpes virus. And what's interesting about herpes viruses is they could actually lay latent in the body for years. And there's actually work that's been done with bovine herpes virus to show that it can be brought back from latency with enough stress. And so when we're thinking about these things, we need to think about how they're affecting reproduction. And so the symptoms, late-term abortions, can also see other things, respiratory symptoms, ocular symptoms, vaginitis. So all of these things come into play. So how do we control any of these? We vaccinate the animal. And typically, they're combination vaccines. Usually IBR and BVD are combined with Vibrio and Lepto. And by label, they say to give them 30 days pre-breeding. Whoops. We lost our projector somewhere. So the labels on all of these say 30 days pre-breeding. Well, one of the things we really come into is there's two types of vaccines we can deal with. We have our modified lives and we have our inactivated vaccines. And the next couple of bullet points were going to be the dogmas on those. So our modified lives affect one system of the immune system. We have to booster them less frequently. But the concerns with our modified lives are, one, is handling of them, and two, some of the safety issues that come into play. There we go. And so, as I mentioned, they mainly affect the cell-mediated immunity. With our killed vaccines, we kind of have the opposite side. We affect the antibody-mediated immunity. They need more frequent boostering, but we've known for years they're safer. We've used killed vaccines in pregnant animals, in open animals, in calves, without any problems. But what happens when we use a modified live? And I want to set this up in different stages. And the reason we really got into this area was phone calls I was getting of people buying heifers. And they're looking at developing their replacement heifers. And I'd get a phone call, I've got these heifers in a month before breeding season. How can I vaccinate them? What can I do to them? And it's kind of, what have they seen before? I don't know. Or nothing. And so we really, our first study in this was looking at some of the modified lives in naive animals. And you may question, why look at that? Because when we go back, we can go back several years, and we know modified lives can cause problems in naive animals. But part of the thought of that is that it was affecting the dominant follicle. And so what problems can we see? And I'll get into that in more detail in just a minute. But live IVR injected, 8 heifers, 1 day after estrus, ovarian necrosis. Okay, everybody knows what necrosis is, basically tissue dying, never a good thing. Modified live vaccine, given IV, 8 heifers, 1 day after estrus, both CL and ovarian necrosis in all 8 of them. IVR vaccine, 18 heifers, 4 days after the second prostaglandin, CL, ovarian necrosis, inflammation in 14 of the 18. Modified live given IV versus control, only 3 out of 10 of them calved versus 9 out of 9 calving. So we've known it causes these problems. Now, we don't give IV, vaccines IV. So what about when we actually do what we normally do and vaccinate the animals? Modified live IVR vaccine in 8 heifers, 14 days after breeding, caused infertility, embryonic death, and return to estrus. And in the first study, we actually worked on this area. At the start of a modern synchronization protocol, where we're inducing ovulation of that dominant follicle, what happened? So we had 59 heifers, gave it the first day of the protocol. In the modified live, 8 out of 21 had abnormal estrous cycles. Only 10 out of 21 calved. The killed vaccine, 3 of them had abnormal cycles. 25 of them calved. And so I want to go into this a little bit further on what is the dogma that's been out there and what did it actually change and make us think more about in this study. So if we look at percent abnormal cycles, our control, all of them had normal estrous cycles. So our control in this group was given saline. 2 doses or 1 doses of an inactivated vaccine, about 10 to 12% abnormal cycles. Where our modified live, as we would expect, about 35% of them had abnormal cycles. So what do I mean by an abnormal cycle? This kind of characterizes all the things that go on. These are daily blood samples to look at serum progesterone profiles. And if we look, going through the study, the green line is our control. And so we see the animals that got pregnant, progesterone's maintained. We see a nice rise in progesterone and staying above a threshold to maintain pregnancy. Now, what's interesting is if progesterone drops prior to day 16 of the cycle, there's no time for that embryo to signal maternal recognition of pregnancy. So it doesn't matter if she gets bred or not. She's going to lose that embryo. And if we look at this, the yellow and pink lines in here are inactivated vaccines. And we can see there was 3 of them that dropped off early. In our red dotted, we have some of them that never had a rise in progesterone. Some of them dropped off early. We just had problems with that corpus luteum. And so this is what we've known to occur. And when we looked at conception rates, we can see the same thing. Our control and our inactivated vaccines ran somewhere 70, 80%. Our modified live was about 30% conception rates. And so none of this was really new. This is kind of what we had expected if that virus is getting into that dominant follicle. What surprised us, though, is the way the study was set up, we were able to track these animals through the next breeding cycle. And so any animal that did not conceive to that first service, we then looked, when did they conceive? And we can see we had really good conception rates. Granted, there's only a few animals in here in our inactivated, but our modified live, we were at 30% again. And so it carries on for not just that dominant follicle, but for the entire estrus cycle. And so the dogma has always been, when we give a modified live, it gets into this large dominant follicle and disrupts the corpus luteum. And the reason we did this study is with most modern or current recommended synchronization protocols, we actually use an injection of GnRH to induce ovulation of this follicle. Well, if the only place it's affecting is that follicle, then we should have cleared it out. And it should have been fine. But we know from our low conception rates that it not only affected that follicle, but it affected this next follicular wave that started to grow after we induced ovulation. And so it's also affecting those smaller follicles. And then when we come in and we look at that second service conception rate still at 30%, not only is it affecting these that start growing right away, but those that didn't start growing until the next estrous cycle. And so when we think about that, there's something hanging around for extended periods of time that's going to affect those conception rates. And so we've known for a long time, basically, in naive animals, it's really simple. If these animals have never seen a vaccine before, if they're naive, not only is it going to affect this first cycle, it's going to affect extended cycles. Don't use a modified live around the breeding season. And I don't know of anybody who would disagree with that because we know of all the negative effects. But then the question starts coming up, what animals are naive? What happens in well-vaccinated animals, which is the majority of our herd? And so when we started looking in the literature, there's some studies that this one actually had 800 animals, compared a modified live given three times. The second dose was 90 days pre-breeding. The third dose was either 40 or 3 days pre-breeding. So really looking at the interval pre-breeding. And if you look, the conclusion, there's no difference. No difference in overall first service, second service conception rates, days to conception. So the conclusion from that was, well, it doesn't really matter when, if the animals have previously been vaccinated. Another study, 295 heifers. Again, given a modified live either 30 or 9 days prior to the start of the breeding season. No difference in estrus expression, AI pregnancy, or breeding season pregnancy. So people have pulled from these studies for several years saying, well, as long as they're well vaccinated, they're fine. But more recently, there's been a couple of studies that have come out. Instead of looking at timing, they've compared it to an inactivated or a control. And so this first study actually looked at modified live versus inactivated vaccines given 40 and 10 days pre-breeding or 61 and 31 days pre-breeding. And what was interesting is we're talking a 15 to 20% difference. Now, in this manuscript, it was concluded non-significant because there was 20 and 10 animals per treatment. And so statistically, that difference was not detected. Another recent study compared a modified live to saline and showed a 20% difference. But again, statistically, they were similar. And so we decided to design a study, because we were getting a lot of questions about this, to look in well-vaccinated animals, is there truly a difference? So we actually designed the study to be able to detect a less than 10% difference in pregnancy success. There's over 1,400 cows and heifers from 9 herds over 2 years in this study. All females in this study, their entire life had been on a modified live vaccination program. And then some of them were sold. I'm going to show some calving data. Some of them were sold prior to calving for other reasons, just herd management. And so there's about 1,300 animals in the calving data. But what our three treatments were is they either got a modified live, which was a combination vaccine, a killed vaccine, or saline, all exactly according to label. So the modified live, since all of these herds had previously been on a modified live program, they got their annual booster 30 days pre-breeding. The ones that got switched to a killed vaccine, they were given an injection 30 and 60 days since it was the first time they had seen the vaccine. And our saline was given the same thing. And so to draw it out, here's what our three treatments looked like. Our control group, or one control group, annual vaccination with a modified live. 30 days pre-breeding, they all went on the 7-day Cosync plus Cedar protocol. Within each herd, they were blocked by age and days postpartum, inseminated the same way bulls were used equally across treatments. Our killed vaccine, they were vaccinated 60 and 30 days pre-breeding. Our saline group got saline both of those time periods. And so what did we see? Well, one of the things, we blocked animals by days postpartum. So this graph is looking at days postpartum. And we can see as days postpartum increased, our AI conception rates increased. Well, why did we look at that? We wanted to make sure there wasn't anything strange going on in the herds. There wasn't any exposure to anything else that could affect anything. So the data on days postpartum, we've known that across studies for years. It's been repeated across many herds. And so this tells us that things were functioning in these herds as we expected. Now, what about our treatments? When we look at our inactivated vaccine, our saline, and our modified live, at a 0.055 difference, there was a difference in AI conception rates. Our saline group was intermediate on AI conception rates. When we get out to 56 days, so what does a 56-day preg check tell you? It tells you the animals that conceived AI, because we were also looking at embryonic loss. But it also tells us the animals that conceived first service to natural service. So it tells us not only could we affect that, but were we affecting the next estrus cycle also? And what do we see? We see our saline and our inactivated significantly higher than our modified live. That carried on between our inactivated and our modified live through the end of the breeding season. Our saline group was intermediate overall between them. When we look at calving by groups, as you'd expect, animals that conceived earlier, calved earlier. So if we group those first 12 days of the calving season, there was a tendency for more in the inactivated vaccine to calve in those first 12 days. Why is that important? Those animals that calve earlier breed back sooner. Those calves that are born earlier are heavier, usually more productive ones at weaning all the way through. When we look further out, no difference through the rest of the breeding season. So we're not seeing the effect on the natural service, the cleanup bull sired. We're seeing these effects early on our AI-sired animals. So to summarize this study, AI conception rates were better in our killed vaccine versus our modified live. Our saline group was intermediate. 56-day conception rates, so AI and first service, were better in both our killed and saline compared to a modified live. And breeding season followed the same pattern. But now the question comes, we've always been told modified lives give us better immunity. So the question is, which one actually gives us better protection? Is it going to be modified lives or our killed vaccines? This was a study done in the Southeast, actually was just published this year, that went to address part of that question. And I want to set this up on what they actually did. These heifers were weaned on day zero. They received their first vaccination there. They either received a modified live or saline at this time point. They got their booster vaccine. They were bred as replacement heifers. They then came back and vaccinated the group that had gotten the modified live. Half of them got modified live. Half of them got an inactivated. And this one is set up a little different because part of it is an inactivated and part of it's a chemically altered vaccine, which means part of it's temperature sensitive. It won't replicate in the body or at body temperatures. And then the third group that had gotten saline to begin with remained getting saline. But then what they did is if you look at this time point here and here, they literally came back after they bred them as two-year-olds and exposed them to BVD and to IBR as a challenge and said, okay, are these vaccines going to hold up to protect that fetus from being aborted? So what did they see? And I'm going to drop down to this bottom one here because it summarizes both. Percent aborted. So A is the modified live group. 3 of 23 aborted. They isolated either BVD or IBR, which is bovine herpes virus 1, in 4 of them. So 17% of the calves they were able to isolate the virus from. And we can see here there was 2 of them, one that aborted and one that calved that had BVD, and 2 of the aborted that had IBR. What about group B? Group B was the group that got a modified live at weaning early in life to set them up, but then prior to the breeding season as two-year-olds, they were switched to a chemically altered and inactivated vaccine. 1 out of 22 aborted, so 5%. None of them were they able to isolate virus out of. The control group, 73% aborted, 100% of them had one of the two viruses. And you can see here the overlap, a bunch of them had both of them isolated from them. So if we think about that, the control group, over 70% abortions, both the modified live and the inactivated were similar. They were down here below 10%, or right at 10% or below aborting. So the question becomes, is there a benefit to the modified live on fetal protection? If they've been set up correctly, this study would tell you no. So what we wanted to do with that, and some of the concerns on if I switch to an inactivated vaccine, am I going to have good fetal protection? So we wanted to come in and follow up our previous study with a large study looking at modified live versus one of these combination vaccines. And so we did the same thing. 10 herds, 1,565 animals, again, blocked by age and calving date within each herd. And this time we just did two treatments. We did the modified live, or we did the chemically altered inactivated vaccine. Ultrasounded them somewhere between 34 and 86 days after AI to get AI conceptions, and they did it again after the end of the breeding season. So same thing I showed before. Here's our control group. All of these animals had been on a modified live program their entire life. We came in. But as a field study, the producers we were working with worked their animals differently. So instead of coming in and saying everything had to be 30 days pre-breeding, we used their management. And so if you look, they ranged from 27 to 89 days pre-breeding when they were vaccinated. And they were given a single dose of modified live or a single dose of the chemically altered inactivated vaccine. Why a single dose? Well, the study I just showed you on fetal protection, that's what they did. They showed a single dose was sufficient for fetal protection. They all went through the 7-day Cosync plus Cedar, were all bred similarly. So again, days postpartum, we see the same thing. There weren't many animals that were this far postpartum, but we see in the groups that had larger numbers in them, As they got further postpartum among the cows, increased conception rate. So again, good reproductively sound herds. What did we see between our treatments? The same thing we saw in the previous one. Our inactivated vaccine was significantly higher than our modified live for AI conception rates. Breeding season, no difference between the two. So again, just like the previous study, something is going on that's affecting things early for those AI conceptions that doesn't seem to be carrying on throughout. Now, one of the things that was different in this study, since we did it all on producer herds, was the interval. So we actually wanted to come in and look at the interval. There was no interaction between the two. So these three lines are our modified live. These three lines are our inactivated. We can see 27 to 30, 31 to 37. No difference between those two time points within either group. As animals were vaccinated earlier pre-breeding, we can see both of them were improved. Now, the A's and B's here are differences, but you can't compare between the two. This is just within each group here. And so that idea of timing becomes important. And when I started talking about well-vaccinated animals, I put up this study that we had all referenced for several years saying, okay, 40 and 3 days pre-breeding, no difference. They were looking at the timing of that vaccination interval and not different vaccines. So 40 and 3 days. This study looking at 30 and 9 days, same thing. Well, if we look at those same two intervals in the study we did this past year, if we're here 30, 40 days, we see the same effect. There's no difference in the conception rates. But what's happening out here? How come when we get out past 45 days, are we seeing improvements in conception rates with the same vaccine, the same protocol? Well, as a physiologist, I started thinking about the follicle. Started thinking about the ovary and what's going on. And honestly, when we start thinking about 45 days, some of it makes sense. Because when we think about follicular development from a preantral follicle to the ovulatory size, it's a 42-day interval. And so a lot of people don't think about that. A lot of people don't think about the follicle that they're going to breed off of that's growing that egg you need to for good fertilization, starts growing a month and a half or 2 months before it actually ovulates, depending on what stage we look at. And so those 42 days go from these follicles before antrum formation all the way to the point of ovulation. Now, if we go all the way down to activation, so from these little primordial follicles, the entire growth period is about 90 days. So now we're talking 3 months that we could be affecting things, depending on when we're affecting different sizes of the follicle. And what's interesting is there was a study that just came out a couple of years ago comparing an inactivated and a modified live at different time points. And they gave it, this was in dairy cows, 45 days pre-breeding. And there's over 800 head in this study. And at 45 days, there was not a statistical difference between the treatments, even with 800 head. And so those timing points can be critical when we think about what could be affecting that follicular growth, what could be affecting luteal function. And so when we think about these things, modified lives have their place. We really do need them to set up animals. We need to get that side of the immune system primed. But then when we move into our reproductive herd, they actually have the potential to have adverse effects. And with all the studies I've shown, there's mounting evidence of this occurring. Within our own lab group, we're up to 19 herds and over 3,000 animals that we've seen about a 5 to 8% difference in conception rates between modified lives and an inactivated vaccine, given basically on label. Some of them this past year, we did get down to 27. It depends on which label you read. Most of them say approximately 30 days pre-breeding, all the way out to 89 days. And the other studies I've showed that had much smaller numbers in them, showing the same effects. But as I showed in the study that showed the effectiveness of an inactivated vaccine on fetal protection, preconditioning of these animals is critical. We have to have that first exposure. And Chris Chase, who's a co-author on here with me, is our immunologist in our vet science department. Me and him have talked a lot about it. His recommendation right now for cows, animals going into a replacement, is they need a modified live around weaning, that we need to activate that side of the immune system. But then if they're going into the herd, when you get pre-breeding, the inactivated vaccines are good. And what else does that do? It actually activates both sides of the immune system. And there's a study that he cites that actually shows giving both of them at different time points like that is actually better than always sticking to one, because then you get both sides primed. And as I mentioned, modified lives, better cell-mediated immunity. The killed, better antibody-mediated immunity. So as we think about this and the benefits we can have, right now I can't tell you what's causing those negative effects. We've got studies going on that we're trying to isolate virus from different tissues. Chris has talked several times on the ability to reactivate IBR since it's a herpes virus. I can't tell you the exact mechanism. We're trying to look at that. But I can tell you, out of all the herds we've looked at and the numbers that we've looked at, we are seeing these differences and there's things going on. And the one study actually shows that an annual booster of killed vaccine does give good protection against the diseases as long as they have been set up correctly. One thing I do want to throw out, because I've talked about this all across the country in different regions and stuff, is before changing a program, you need to get your local vet's input. And why do I put that up there? Your local vet is going to know what you're facing. Some of our herds in South Dakota, they're not commingling cows every week. One of our research stations, they're not an isolated station. However, I'll bet you the cows may see the neighbor's cows once a year. Just because of the size of the operations. We look at the two talks that were given yesterday on drought. And the size of the operations, when they're being rotated, they don't run into the same virus load that animals that are commingled all the time. And I've seen that where people are buying and selling and trading cattle, and that's a different level of exposure. And your local vet's going to know what you're doing. He's going to know what your neighbors are doing. And so their input becomes critical in making sure you have the best possible things. But it's something to think about, that if you have a well-managed herd and we're seeing a 5 to 8% difference on 100 cows, that's an extra 5 calves from an AI pregnancy. And so with that, I think questions are going to be in the bullpen, and I will be happy to discuss any of this with y'all this evening.